It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. Hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front wheel and truck drivers, all my bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. All my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. Hope you all are having a great start to your Tuesday. We got a lot to get into, a lot of exciting news happening around here in the city of Atlanta with our local sports teams. None being more exciting than what's happening with our Atlanta Braves right now. Also, shout out to my girl Noelle White for holding it down behind the glass this morning. But let's get into the Atlanta Braves because, ooh, he's back. And this won't be the first time I'm saying this or the last time I'm saying this this week. Spencer Strider, the boy who keep that thing on him, he is set to return tonight against the Washington Nationals as the Braves start a three-game set with the Nats tonight. And Spencer Strider set to make his return. Obviously, he has been out since he made his first start back after coming off the brace surgery. He, after his first start, felt some hamstring tightness and was uncomfortable in that hamstring, and he's been out ever since. But tonight, he's back again, ready to hopefully stay in the Braves rotation consistently now. So hopefully all of Spencer Strider's injuries and ailments are done for, at least for this season. Please, just get us through the rest of this season. Hopefully we can keep Spencer Strider in the rotation for the rest of this season, and he'll be ready and roaring to go. But the Braves, again, just like they beat the Nationals 3 out of 4, what, last week or so, or a couple of days back, because they played them right before this Red Sox series the Braves just finished, they should be able to handle the Nationals yet again. Nationals right now on a 5-game home losing streak. Let's make it 8. Now, again, I'm not going to be upset if the Braves don't get a sweep, because you really just need to keep winning series, especially now that you're over 500. You just keep stacking series wins, and the Braves will be just fine. So just keep stacking series wins. As long as they take 2 out of 3, that's what matters the most. But the Nats, 10-12 at home this season. Like I told you, 5-game home losing streak. They're 21-27 overall. So, look, here is a bit of a jumping off point, for lack of a better term. The Nats are 14-6 when they score at least 5 runs. So let's try not to give the Nats 5 runs. So let's hold them to 4. We'll probably be all right. And I think Spencer Strider, hopefully in his first start back, will be able to do that. I expect a very good night out of Spencer Strider tonight. I do wonder how long they'll let him go. He did pitch a simulated game. He didn't do a rehab start. He just pitched a simulated game, which was his choice, by the way. So I don't know if there'll necessarily be an innings limit or a pitch count on him. I would honestly, my gut feeling is telling me probably 5 to 6. I don't think they'll let him stretch to 7 tonight, but I think 5 to 6, depending on if he's feeling good and how he's going and how he's looking, I think that would be a solid, as far as innings go, as far as pitch count goes, they're probably around 85, 90 maybe if they're putting him on a pitch count. Probably around 85, 90 pitches, if I had to guess. And again, this is me purely speculating. I have no inside information on this, but that feels right when you talk about his first start back after missing the, you know, last month or so, or however long it's been. 85 to 90 pitches, maybe 5 to 6 innings. We'll see. Maybe they let him stretch it to 95. I don't think they let him go 100, though. 95 even seems like a little long. But anywho, just excited to have Spencer Strider back tonight on the mound. Hopefully the Braves give him a lot of run support tonight as well. The Braves will be going up against Mitchell Parker. Parker, 3-3 on the year, 4.32 ERA, 1.30 WHIP, and 32 strikeouts. When the Braves faced the Nationals in their 4-game set, they saw Mitchell Parker, and I will remind you how the Braves fared that night. I have to pull it back up, but while I'm doing that, let's also talk about another guy who we could be talking about is coming back by the end of this week, and that is Ronald Acuña Jr. The streets are saying old boy Ronnie could be back by Friday. So that would be awesome if we get Ronald Acuña Jr. back by Friday. Now, I was of the opinion for sure that I wouldn't mind Ronald Acuña Jr. not coming back till the June 1st deadline, because once you start a rehab assignment, you have to come back within 20 days, and that 20 days, I think, was June 1st for Ronald Acuña Jr. So I wasn't going to be mad at all if they waited until June 1st just to 1,000% make sure that, you know, he's as confident as he possibly can be with his knee, and he's done any and everything to make sure he's good to go out in the field. Because, look, Ronnie's shown us he can hit, and Brian Snicker has said as much. He's taking all the at-bats he could possibly take. Ronnie going to be able to hit, dog. As far as him getting in a rhythm, like, he can't get much more in a rhythm than actually going out there and facing major league pitching in a live game. Like, he can't do much more from behind the plate to be ready as possible. You know what I'm saying? So it's more so about being in the field. Can he do what he needs to do in the field? Can he make those cuts in the field? Can he make those cuts on the bases? Can he be as comfortable and as confident as he can on the base pads? Can he be as comfortable and confident as he can running to make a diving catch or running in the outfield to make a play? Can he do those things? Or is he confident doing all those things? And that was the major question. And that's why I was like, if they decide to wait until June 1st to bring him back, I'd be okay with that. But it seems like Friday will be the day, so that'd be the 23rd. So that'll be a little more than a week ahead of schedule, because June 1st would end up being a Sunday. So he would be a little more than a week ahead of schedule. So, again, I'm fine with it. And look, the doctors and Ronald Acuña Jr. know his body best. So if Ronald Acuña Jr. thinks he's ready to go, if the doctors think he's ready to go, he's ready to go. And who am I to stop Ronnie from getting back out here on the field? Plus, we all want to see him, myself included. So if Ronnie thinks he's ready, the doctors think he's ready, let Ronnie ride. You know what I'm saying? Let him rock out. Let him get up here and help the Braves win some baseball games. But going back to what I was looking up for you as far as the Braves and Nationals go and how the Braves fared when they last went up against Mitchell Parker, let me find it here for you. Remember, the Braves, again, took 3 out of 4, and the last time the Braves faced Mitchell Parker was, I'm still looking for it here, forgive me, but I'm thinking they fared fairly well because they did do a good job scoring. Okay, here it is. So Last time, actually, it was the one game they lost that the Braves faced Mitchell Parker. They scored four runs. They did what they had to do, but still the Nationals end up getting that win 5-4. But you had your way against Mitchell Parker. You did what it was actually the bullpen that shut you down. You were scoring against Mitchell Parker, and the bullpen shut you down after that. So Mitchell Parker, when he last faced the Braves, this was May 14th. So this was last Wednesday, almost a week ago. Wednesday, May 14th, Mitchell Parker got the start against the Braves. He went 4 2/3 innings, gave up four runs, all of them earned, two walks, six strikeouts. And again, Braves had a solid day. Marcell Ozuna got a RBI double. Stuart Fairchild, RBI double as well. Fairchild also scored on a throwing error. So, yeah, you had pretty good luck against Mitchell Parker. So, hopefully you can get that same luck. Maybe scoring even a little bit more. Really, it's just about you don't want to give the Nationals those five runs. And I think with Spencer Strider on the mound and hopefully this bullpen ready to bounce back will be ready to go and the Braves will be ready to get another win against the Washington Nationals and add another win to their belt and get two games over 500, a place they haven't been yet this season. So, feeling good about where the Braves are at, especially with Ronald Acuña Jr. set to come back again, hopefully Friday. That is according to MLB.com, to where it seems like he's going to join the Braves ahead of their series against the Padres. So, that is good news. Remember, they take on the Nationals today, Wednesday, Thursday. Then they'll start a series against the Padres on Friday. And that is right now looking like it could be the possible return date for Ronald Acuña Jr. And I mean, look, I talked about this yesterday a little bit. If these guys can continue hitting, and when I say these guys, I'm talking about Alex Verdugo, talking about Nick Allen, talking about Eli White and Verdugo specifically, those two will obviously be platooned once Ronald Acuña Jr. comes back because, you know, you can't have four outfielders at one time, and Money Mike's going to be in there too. But Ronald Acuña Jr. isn't going to start off as soon as he comes back playing every day. Like, he's not going to play Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Like, he's going to get a day off probably Saturday and then probably play again on Sunday maybe. Or maybe he plays Friday, Saturday, and then gets a day off on Sunday. Something of that nature. So Eli White and Alex Verdugo are still going to get plenty of playing time, especially when Ronald Acuña Jr. first comes back again, hopefully on Friday. But if those guys can keep hitting, and it'll be interesting to see what this lineup looks like too, because you talk about Ronnie going to be at the leadoff spot. We all know that to be true, right? When he comes back, he's definitely going to be in that leadoff spot. Do you keep Austin Riley at two to give maybe Ronnie a little extra protection? Do you put Verdugo at two just because he's been hitting the ball well lately? And yeah, if Ronnie gets on base, Verdugo gets on base, then you maybe move Austin Riley down to three when he's been one of your most consistent hitters, maybe your most consistent hitter. I know Drake Baldwin is in that conversation too, but he hasn't played as many games, obviously, as Austin Riley. So if you talk about over the full season thus far, Austin Riley's been your most consistent hitter. If you put Ronnie and Verdugo ahead of him, both of those guys who have been, you know, Ronnie, we know what he can do. Verdugo has been, since he's been up with the Braves, just been hitting very well. So you get Ronnie and Verdugo ahead on base in front of Austin Riley, the damage Austin Riley can do. And then if Riley gets on base, Matt Olson, Marcell, then Matt, however you want to face it there. I mean, that's a way you could go with it. Or if you want to keep Austin Riley at two and give some protection to Ronnie, you put Alex Verdugo maybe a little bit lower in the lineup at some point, and you give him more RBI opportunities because of the way he's been hitting. There's just so many different ways you can go with it. But again, that only works if Alex Verdugo keeps hitting. If Austin Riley, which I think he will, keeps hitting. If a guy, and the same goes for Eli White, even though when Eli White's in, he'll be definitely lower in the lineup. But still, it'll just make this lineup that much more dangerous. So we'll see what happens. But man, the Braves are trending upward. They got over 500. Spencer Strider is about to coming back tonight. Ronnie should be back by the end of this week. The vibes are immaculate right now here in the ATL when we're talking about our Atlanta Braves. So hopefully the vibes stay high tonight and Spencer Strider gets a win in his first start back. But when we come back, here on the Hometown Take. I had this discussion on the extended version of the Hometown Take this past Sunday, and I want to have it with my early morning folk this morning. The easiest and toughest stretches of the schedule for the Falcons this season. Let's get into it next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to your early morning sports fix. This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to work, already at work. Appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. Appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the station wherever you are, whenever you want to. And for my show specifically, if you're not usually an early riser, guess what? That's all right. I got a solution for you. All you got to do, download that free Odyssey app on all your smartphone and all your smart devices. Then, once you got the app downloaded, download or follow, find my show, The Hometown Take. Find the radio station at 929 The Game. Find my show, The Hometown Take. And you can find all the other shows while you're at it. Morning Shift, Steakhouse, Andy and Randy, Dukes and Bell, Chris Thomas Tonight. Follow and subscribe to all the shows. And then you can listen to the shows whenever you want. And for my show, if you're not usually up at 5 a.m., guess what? That's all right. You can listen to my show at 7 a.m. once you're getting up and getting ready for work, or 8 a.m. once you're on your way to work, or 10 a.m. once you get settled in at work, or 5 p.m. once you're on your way home from work. And you can do that with all the great shows. You can go back and listen to your favorite segments, interviews. You can go back and listen to shows in their entirety. You can do all that and more. The free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Let's talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Again, as I told you before we went to break, I talked about this and did this segment during my extended version of the Hometown Take, which was on Sunday. I was on Sunday from 2 to 5, and we talked about this then, but I want to make sure I talk about it with my early morning folk as well, because Falcons, you look at it right now, and again, things can change, rearrange. We don't know how teams are going to be. You know, teams we think are going to be good could be bad. Teams we think are going to be bad could be good. We know how it goes with the NFL. You never know what a team is really going to look like until you get to that week. But as of right now, for sake of conversation, what is the toughest stretch for the Falcons this season, and what's going to be the easiest stretch for the Falcons this season? I think, one, if you look at it, a lot of this Falcons schedule is going to be tough. It ain't going to be easy. This is not a walk in the park at all for the Atlanta Falcons. They're going to have to earn it this season. But I will say this. There is a easier part in there. There is an easier stretch. But they got a lot of tough stretches too, really. And we'll start with the tough part. If you look at, really, if you really want to go there, you could go there and say weeks 1 through 9 are going to be tough. That whole first half is going to be tough, because when you think about it, and I'll break it down to a smaller section of the schedule, but I do want to just put it into perspective that 1 through 9 is tough, because you start off with a division opponent, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have won, the last 3 division titles, and they're still going to be pretty darn good this year. You start off with the Bucs, divisional opponent. Now you're at home, but it's still the Bucs, and it's still a divisional opponent. So you start off with the Bucs at home. Then you got the Vikings, which if J.J. McCarthy is solid, that Vikings team is still going to be pretty darn good. However, if J.J. McCarthy isn't that good, then it should be a little bit easier of a game. But they still have a very good supporting cast around J.J. McCarthy. So that game probably going to be tough for the Falcons, and it's on the road. primetime as well, Sunday Night Football. But you have the Bucs at home, week one. Then you're in Minnesota, Sunday Night Football, week two. Then you got another divisional game after that, week three. You're in Carolina to take on the Panthers. And look, while I think we should beat the Panthers, Panthers showed us a little something last year. We all remember what happened in the last game of the regular season. Bryce Young throwing that touchdown pass, and he looked away and threw his hands up in the air before dude even caught it. He was out there trying to swag on us. He was out there clip farming. He was out there aura farming on us the last game of the season. So these Panthers, their defense is going to be healthier. We'll see how McMillan and Leggett, and I think Adam Thielen is still there too. Offense should be improved, and Bryce Young looks like something clicked for him at the end of last season. So this Panthers team, going to be tough. It's going to be a walk in the park, especially with it being on the road as well. So when you talk about the first 3 weeks, you're talking about two divisional opponents, one at home, one on the road, and a Minnesota Vikings team that could end up being very good. Now, again, the thing about the Vikings, like I said, if JJ's good early, then, you know, it could be tough for us. But it could be a good thing. Kind of remember back to when we played the Houston Texans a couple of years back and we got them in week two. And that was when CJ Stroud was a rookie and he popped out and they went to the playoffs and all that stuff. And, you know, it was the great story of rookie head coach D'Amico Ryans and rookie quarterback CJ Stroud, and they kind of set the league on fire. Remember, we beat that Texans team. And it was good because we got them early where they hadn't fully clicked yet. And then later on in the season, they became obviously a much tougher opponent. But we got them in week two, so it was good. It could be that same type of scenario with the Vikings. It could be a good thing that we're catching them early and J.J. McCarthy, and the offense hasn't had a chance to get a rhythm yet. And so we'll be able to take advantage of a young J.J. McCarthy who hasn't been able to, you know, fully get his feet wet yet in the NFL and fully get comfortable yet in the NFL. It could be a situation like that that works out for us, that works in our favor, or it could be something where, to the point of J.J. McCarthy, there's not a lot of film on him, we're not sure what to expect from this guy, and he could light up the first few teams he sees because those teams don't necessarily know what to expect. So it could go either one of those ways for the Falcons. Hopefully, it's the Falcons speeding up J.J. McCarthy, making him make mistakes because of the pass rush we're getting on him. But we'll see what happens. But either way it goes, those first 3 weeks, not going to be easy. Two divisional opponents, one at home, one on the road, and then a Minnesota Vikings team that probably is going to end up being pretty good. Then you go to week four. You're taking on the Washington Commanders. We know they were in the NFC Championship game last year. And then you do have your bye week. Early bye week, not great, but it is a bye week nonetheless. You got a little extra time to get ready for the Buffalo Bills in week six, Monday Night Football. Then you go out west to take on the San Francisco 49ers. And just to go back to the Bills for a second, it's the Bills. We know how they're coming. Josh Allen and the crew. We know they're a perennial playoff team, AFC Championship team, depending on when they got to face the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? So that's the Bills. Obviously, we know it's going to be a tough opponent. Then you got the 49ers on the road in Levi's Stadium out west. Week seven, Sunday Night Football. That's going to be tough. And for me, just to boil it down real quick, I think that's the toughest stretch. Even though the bye week is in there, weeks four through seven is the toughest stretch for the Falcons. You talk about taking on the Commanders, who I don't see there being much of a drop-off for them at all. They did bring in Debo. Now we'll see how Jaden Daniels performs in year two, but I don't expect him to be bad in year two. Will he be as good as he was last year? Who knows? We'll see, but I don't think he's going to be bad. So you're talking about having to face Jaden Daniels and the Commanders in week four, Josh Allen and the Bills in week six. I know the bye week is in there, so it kind of, you know, spreads things out a little bit. And then Brock Purdy, who just got paid, Fred Warner, who literally just got paid yesterday. You talk about taking on the San Francisco 49ers, who, if they're healthy, they're a playoff team, potentially an NFC Championship or Super Bowl team. When you talk about having C-Mac back and Brandon Ayuk, Ricky Pearsall, you talk about all those guys, all the weapons they still have on offense. Still got Kyle Shanahan. Again, still got a pretty good defense. Weeks four through seven, Commanders, Bills, 49ers, that's going to be tough. Even though two of those games are at home, still going to be tough. Very much so. So that's the toughest stretch for me. 4-7 is definitely the toughest stretch. But again, you could make an argument for weeks 1-7, for all the reasons I just laid out. And even if you want to take it one step further, week 8, when you take on the Dolphins, if the Dolphins are healthy, we know Tua wasn't the healthiest last year. Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle wasn't the healthiest. Jalen Waddle missed a good amount of time last year too. That team, while they haven't done a whole lot in the playoffs, they've been a pretty solid regular season team when they're healthy. They still got Tua. They still got Tyreek Hill. Still got Jalen Waddle. They still got dudes out there in Miami, especially on offense. So that game could end up being a shootout, and that could end up being a tough game for the Falcons. That game is at home, though, so that is a good thing. And then week 9, again, to take it one step further, I think the Patriots are going to be a lot better this season. Drake May in year 2, he looked like he started to figure some things out when he finally got a chance to start and he got his feet under him a little bit. He looked good towards the end of the season. They brought in Stephon Diggs, re-signed a lot of their guys on defense. So that defense is going to be as good as it was last year. And they had a very good defense last year. And they also brought in Milton Williams to add to that already good defense. So, again, you could make an argument weeks 1-9 again. We don't know how good the Dolphins or Patriots are probably going to be, but you feel pretty good about the Commanders, Bills, and 49ers being good. We know the Bucs are going to be tough. We know Carolina probably going to be tougher than they were before. So, again, it's definitely weeks 4-7, but you can make an argument for weeks 1-9 as well, or at least 1-7. And then the easiest stretch, real quick, I think that easiest stretch, even though it's a lot of travel, I think the Colts in Germany, because I'm still not that much of a believer in Anthony Richardson. He's got to stay healthy, too. Who knows if we'll even be playing Anthony Richardson by week 10. The Panthers week 11, even though the Panthers are better, I'm not sure how much better they'll be. And I still think we got better. I think, obviously, we got better, too. So I think we'll have a good chance to beat the Panthers. And then the Saints. Saints aren't going to be good this year. The Saints are not going to be good this year, y'all. I'm just going to tell y'all that. And, you know, we'll see about the Jets. I think the Jets will be all right, but I still think that could be a winnable game. So if you want to say maybe weeks 10 through 12 or weeks 10 through 13, I think that's probably the easiest stretch for the Falcons. So that's how I feel. You can let me know how you're feeling @_DylanMatthews. You can DM me on all social media platforms @_DylanMatthews and let me know what you think the toughest stretch for the Falcons will be this season and what the easiest stretch of the season will be for the Falcons this year. But when we come back here on the Hometown Take, we will preview the Western Conference Finals that get underway tonight, and I'll give you my Game 1 predictions. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back to your early morning sports fix. Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. Hope you all are doing well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. All my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are already at work, on their way to work. Thank you. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. Appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station @929TheGame on all social media platforms. Follow myself @_DylanMatthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app. While the Atlanta Dream, I do want to give a quick update on them. Their season, if you were wondering, has already started. They played their first game of the season this past Friday. They did lose to the Washington Mystics 94-90. So hopefully they can get in the winning column and get their first win of the season. Tonight, they are taking on Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever, 7 o'clock tonight. These next two games are going to be on kind of high-profile channels. We got NBA TV, Dream and Fever will be on tonight. And then they're going to be on Amazon Prime Video on Thursday when they take on the Dream. When they take on the Fever as well, the Dream do. And that game on Thursday, thank you, Noel, for telling me is going to be, that's the game that's going to be at State Farm Arena. The Dream are going to be on the road for their game tonight against their Fever, and then they're going to come back and play the Fever again on Thursday at home, and that's going to be the game that's in State Farm Arena. The Dream taking on a couple of high-profile names and high-profile teams here to start the season. Obviously, they're taking on Caitlin Clark over the next couple of days, next few days, as, again, they take on the Fever in Indiana tonight, and then here at State Farm Arena, they take on the Fever on Thursday. Then they play the Dallas Wings. We all know Paige Bueckers, first overall pick. And the Dallas Wings have a very good team as well, too, overall, when you talk about the Wings have, obviously, Paige Bueckers, Dejanay Carrington. They also got Arike Ogunbowale as well. So, Nalissa Smith, can't forget about her either. Very good player, too. So, Ty Harris. Didn't Ty Harris used to play for the Dream? Did Ty Harris play for the Dream at one point?
Yeah, I think a while ago.
She's been in the league a minute, but I do remember Ty Harris. I thought she had played for the Dream for, I think she got either maybe a season or two. She didn't spend very long here in Atlanta, but she did used to play for the Dream. But anywho, a couple of good teams they're going up against. Then obviously they're going up against the Connecticut Sun. Connecticut Sun, still a very good team, even though it's been shaken up a bit to this point. But they got Tina Charles on the Sun, obviously. So Sanaya Rivers, she just got drafted. NC State, very good player in college. She's with the Connecticut Sun now. So a couple of very good players on the Connecticut Sun still. So we'll see how that works out. But hopefully the Dream can get some big wins here. Then they're taking on the Sparks. Remember, Kelsey Plum got traded to the Sparks. So she's on the Sparks now. Then you're taking on Seattle Storm. They got why am I not remembering? She used to be she still kind of is one of my favorite players. Skylar Diggins. Yeah, Skylar Diggins Smith, if you want to put her whole name in there.
No Smith.
Oh, it's no Smith?
Diggins, no Smith.
Oh, Diggins, no Smith. All right. News to me. I should have known when I didn't see the hyphenated Smith in here on this, because they used to have it on ESPN. It's not there no more. Should have known. My bad. Skylar Diggins, no Smith. I'm picking up what you're putting down. Hopefully you are too out there. But they got Skylar Diggins, no Smith. Lexi Brown, obviously. Gabby Williams, too. Very good player. Nneka Egumike, the sister of Shanae Egumike. Nneka Egumike still out there balling and getting it. So, Dream, say all that to say, they got their first few games are some tough games. High-profile names they'll be playing up against, too, as well. So, it'll be a fun season for the Dream to start out. But hopefully they get some wins in there as well. But they do take on the Fever, Caitlin Clark and the Fever, tonight on the road and Thursday at home in State Farm Arena. So, hey, make sure you go out and support the Dream as well in State Farm, and you can go see Caitlin Clark, Ryan Howard, and everybody battle it out. And also our girl Tiana Pow Pow as well. She's in the starting lineup, which I'm happy to see. I'm glad she's getting those starting minutes, getting that good experience to start out here. And obviously she's going to be a good contributor to this team. But either way it goes, shout out to the Dream and good luck this entire season. All right, let's move on to the NBA, shall we? After talking a little bit about the W, we're going to talk about the NBA. Western Conference Finals start tonight. Timberwolves, Thunder in OKC for game one. This to me is going to be a very, very fun series, very interesting series. And as far as how I feel about it, as far as what way it'll go, I feel like OKC, at the end of the day, while I am 1,000% rooting for Ant-Man and I want Ant-Man to make it to the finals, heck, I would even like to see Ant-Man win it all, being a Georgia product and a Georgia boy. I think OKC's going to have a little too much firepower. I think OKC's got a little bit more depth than the Timberwolves do. When you talk about Minnesota, obviously you talk about Anthony Edwards. You talk about Julius Randle. You talk about Jaden McDaniels. But, you know, Mike Conley, is Mike Conley going to be able to tap into the Fountain of Youth a little bit? Is he going to be able to, you know, hit big threes, make some big plays? Obviously, Dante DiVincenzo too. But it just obviously Rudy Gobert too. But I just don't know if they have enough to keep up with what the Thunder have. Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a good 3 and D guy, but is he going to make shots? Again, is Mike Conley going to make threes? Is he going to be able to make plays when he's needed to? Is Jaden McDaniels going to be able to make shots when he's called upon as well? Because when you talk about OKC, Caruso's got championship experience. I like what he's going to be able to bring, obviously, to the table. Jalen Williams, I think he's going to do a – I think he's going to ball out and do what he needs to do. He might have one clunker game, but I don't expect Jalen Williams to have more than like one clunker game. SGA is obviously going to do SGA. He's probably going to win MVP. And I think he's going to do what he needs to do to make sure his team's in position to win. Chet's going to be a little bit of an X factor because Chet has kind of been hit or miss, I feel like, in these playoffs. He's been okay, but he hasn't taking that step that you really feel like that he can take. So that'll be interesting to me to see if Rudy can find a way, or whoever's guarding Chet at the time, whether it's Rudy Gobert or Julius Randle, whoever, if they can slow down Chet, I think that could be something, because Chet defensively, if he's guarding Rudy, Rudy's post game isn't that great, but I think Rudy can have a little bit of an advantage down low if the Timberwolves choose to exploit it, just because Rudy definitely has the strength advantage over a guy like Chet. Not height, but he's got the strength advantage. So it'll be interesting to see what that matchup looks like down low. And obviously, it's going to be popcorn cinema watching SGA and Anthony Edwards battle it out, because I do think the two will guard each other. Now, how much throughout a 48-minute game will they be guarding each other? That's the question. I don't think it'll be the entire game, but I think it'll be a solid majority of the game that we see SGA and Anthony Edwards guarding each other. So that'll obviously be fun to see as well. But again, when you talk about the depth of OKC, in the post, when you talk about Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein, on the wing, when you talk about Caruso and Jalen Williams, and even at the forward position, they got J-Dub, the other Jalen Williams. Yeah, obviously they got SGA. Isaiah Joe's a nice guard off the bench, a nice piece off the bench. Cason Wallace, solid. Aaron Wiggins, solid. So they just got really good depth, and I think at the end of the day, I'm going to have to go OKC to win the series, even though I really, really want the Timberwolves to prove me wrong, and I want Ant-Man to make the finals. I just feel like OKC's got a little too much firepower, and they really proved something to me taking down the Nuggets. I thought the Nuggets were going to win that series. I thought the experience, the championship experience, the championship pedigree from the Nuggets, I thought that was going to put the Nuggets over the top, and I thought that was going to get the Nuggets to the Western Conference Finals. OKC said, nah, this is our time. We're ready right now. Ain't no waiting. We're ready now. We got that experience. We're ready to go. And so it kind of also has a gut feeling to me that this might just be OKC's year to at least make it to the finals. Win it, we'll see, but at least make it to the finals. So to me, I'm going to have to go OKC, but I do hope that the Timberwolves win it, because I would love to see Ant-Man in the finals. My ideal finals matchup, I'll go ahead and tell you before the conference finals start. My ideal finals matchup, Knicks, Timberwolves. I just think that would be fun. I think that would be entertaining. Not to say that like a Pacers Thunder series wouldn't be entertaining, but I think it would be a little more entertaining if we got Cat going up against his old team, Timberwolves, and obviously in the offseason that they made that trade, the year that trade is made, basically, those two teams make it to the finals. That's a cool storyline to me. Obviously, having Ant-Man going up against his old teammate and Cat and Rudy. I mean, not Rudy, but going up against his old teammate and Cat. I just think that would be a lot more fun. And you talk about Knicks fans, how wild they would be if the Knicks make it to the finals. And now the Pacers fans are crazy too. They are some crazy, crazy fans out there in Indiana, and they get rowdy for their team too. But to me, it would just mean a little more if the Knicks are back in the finals. So I think Knicks and Timberwolves will be a little more entertaining just because there's a little more storyline there and a little bit more meat on the bone there as far as a story goes and things to look out for and things to watch for as far as a Knicks-Timberwolves finals would go. But still, I think a Pacers-Thunder final would be fun too. And even a Pacers-Timberwolves final would be cool. That to me is the least ideal matchup, Pacers-Timberwolves. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel great. I'd either like to see my top one again. Knicks, Timberwolves. After that, maybe Pacers, Thunder. And then if it's like Pacers, Timberwolves, I'm like, hang on. Or Knicks, Thunder would be kind of fun too. Knicks, Thunder would be kind of fun. So that would be all right. But we'll see what ends up happening. But I like the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I like the Timberwolves in the Western Conference. Actually, like I said, I'm going to stick with my pick. I like OKC to make out of the West, but I hope the Timberwolves do. But we shall see. All right. That is going to do it for me here. That is my time. Appreciate y'all. As always, we'll be back tomorrow on a hump day edition of the Hometown Take. We'll continue to talk about the Atlanta Falcons, get you ready for the season, hype you up for the season. We'll see what goes down tonight in Western Conference Finals Game 1 between the Timberwolves and the Thunder. We'll recap how the Braves and Spencer Strider did in his return. And we'll get to Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 as well. That's all coming up on our Hometown Take. But coming up next, a Tuesday edition of The Morning Shift with Mike Johnson, Bo Squid, Billy Morgan, and Allie Mack. That's next here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.